So,
yeah, what are we talking about?
Captain America!
What's that?
As he wears a Captain America hoodie. What's that? I am unfamiliar with that character.
I have no idea. No, I thought this was a Puerto Rican flag hoodie. That's what I thought.
Wow. Understandable mistake.
Yep.
So we just saw Captain America Civil War. So spoilers alert.
Oh yeah.
Heavy. Obviously, if you have not seen this, don't listen to this yet. Listen to it after.
Yes.
There's, 100 plus other episodes you could listen to. Listen to one of those. Or go see the movie. Both. You know what? The answer is both.
You know what? You play it low enough no one else can hear. One in your bud in one ear. You could listen to podcasts while you watch the movie.
Multitask.
That's how we enjoy things at home.
Yeah. Never paying attention to the thing we're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 21st century. What are you going to do?
So, what we're doing is we're doing a couple of the regular things. We're doing the news and the warm-up and whatever. We'll have kind of Captain America related. But the main topic, we are doing debate style.
Yes.
The Iron Man position versus the Captain America position.
Ideological differences.
I thought they were sex positions.
That too. Either way, it's going to tear this podcast apart.
It will. Ow.
I'll raise my flag. That'll repulse her.
I was just going to make a repulsor joke.
Oh, God, hit the theme song.
Oh, shit, yes. That was a pre-crit?
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Okay, well, we already told you everything we're doing. First, who we are. I am Bri.
I am Merc.
I'm Kyle.
And I guess we'll get right to the news.
Current Zero News Flash.
First off, because we're talking about Civil War, as of today, Sunday, this when recording this on the Sunday, after seeing it in the afternoon, worldwide, that movie has already made $678 million. It opened a little earlier worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's some money.
Yeah. Was it 181.8?
Yes.
In
North America and the rest worldwide, and that is a lot.
That is the fifth highest of opening of all time.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I say they earned it.
They did.
Yep.
And then also, that fifth highest earning puts it between Ultron...
Oh,
Age
yeah.
of Ultron and Iron Man 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's interesting. 6, yeah.
Hmm.
I wouldn't have thought Iron Man 3 did that, but hey, whatever.
I'm going to throw a fact out there
to
make people call me a Marvel fanboy. I'm just saying, Batman v Superman worldwide made $864 million in its entire run. It's been not that long for this one. I'm just throwing that out there.
It made $1 million this weekend.
Hey, that's a lot of money.
It is.
Considering everything, that's actually pretty good.
Like American?
I believe it was in pesos.
It was in pesos.
Yes. So that's $10.
Olé.
$10.
What else we got? Kevin Feige.
Yes.
It's not confirmed, but he's talking about that they're going ahead or confirming that they're going to do something with a Black Widow movie, finally.
Yeah, he's saying they're... I think he said they're committed to
They're committed to it, I believe, yeah.
And whereas before, they wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah. I think that there's an interview, a week or two ago, maybe, where, the Russos mentioned that, they were going gushing about how the Black Widow's a great character, and it was the movie has to happen, so...
Why
maybe there's a little pressure
thing?
On.
Yeah.
Which, good, because that... How's that not happened yet?
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Well, there's been some reshuffling in terms of, what was coming out when.
Maybe if you would have committed to this sooner, we could have avoided Ghost in the Shell. I'm just saying.
The movie might be okay. I mean, the whitewashing is one thing.
Yeah, I know.
Although...
I joke.
We're talking about the Black Widow movie that I was talking to Todd about it right after the Civil War, and he...
Happy birthday, Todd!
Happy birthday, Todd!
Birthday.
And he brought up the point. He's like... Kyle Johansson's busy. She's got a lot of stuff going on. She had a kid.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some concerns, or not concerns, but just reasons there why there was no.
Well, that's a bold thing to say on Mother's Day.
Oh. The thing is,
nobody else in these movies has any kids.
No.
Do they? I don't know.
Coming out of their bellies?
Oh, nobody
she
here.
Already had the. No. Nobody. None of the actors.
That's true.
Just because she pushed it out doesn't mean.
Moving on.
Next.
3.5 martinis.
Ben Affleck was recently made executive producer of the Justice League movie, and apparently will work with Chris Terrio, who co-wrote Batman v Superman and also wrote Argo, to fine-tune the script and inform the post-production process, according to The Hollywood Reporter. So, that's probably good news, I would think.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck has made a bunch of good movies, so yeah, if you're giving him more control,
yeah,
it's probably good. Say,
well, he's bowed out of the Mallrats sequel, so I mean, he's got time.
That would have been his top priority otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, it's everyone's top priority. I can't wait to see that movie.
Hooray!
Yay!
Snoochie more boochies.
Oh my god, that's on the poster.
Yeah.
Free Comic Book Day just happened yesterday.
Yep.
I really have nothing to add to that. It just happened yesterday. Went over well.
That's a great thing that happens every year.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And it's you can see cool. them putting more and more into it. Of like, you know what? They're not just like, here's a shitty one-off that some artist did and then we didn't pay him for a bit. And then, oh, we'll pay him now and then we'll just put it up for free. These are things that are in continuity. And well, they're like, often like the little lead into something
yeah,
more.
Yeah, they're like event launchers or big story yeah. launchers, yeah. and that's sort of like they're trying
which,
to get...
Which is totally a good idea.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you have like your widest market of people coming in there to check stories out, and you're... Yeah, it's a solid idea. I don't know how it did like in the big picture. I'm sure it did great. It always does great. But locally, I think, you know, the feedback I got from here, heard from retailers here, was that it did quite
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's always... Yeah, I mean, even if it's... Might only be one day a year, but you have people going into a comic store and reading comics, and
yep.
it can often feel there's a divide with the general public there, and yeah.
I went to both of our comic book shops, and one of them was having a sale along with it, so
yeah.
mm-hmm. Free Comic Book Day cost me $100.
Yeah.
What'd you do? I saved you. With science.
A few things real quick. Adam McKay has apparently signed on to direct a movie based on Mark Waid and Peter Krause's comic Irredeemable. I have not read it.
Which one's Irredeemable? Because I always get that mixed up with the other one.
It's basically like Evil Superman.
Okay, I read that. Eh, it's okay.
Yeah, like yeah. I haven't read it. I don't really know much about it. But if they're sort of going comedy route with it, that was a good time.
It wasn't a comedy.
Oh, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Adam McKay is a comedy guy. They could do a different spin on it potentially.
That would be nice.
I'm sure it wasn't a comedy in the actual comic.
Yeah,
but...
I got really mixed feelings about the comic.
Yeah?
Like it was.
It's one I've never really read. I really like Mark Waid.
It's kind of boring.
Oh, really?
Like, if I'm being completely honest. Kind of a boring book.
Okay. I'm sure the movie
I can't
will
wait for it.
Yeah.
Stop complaining and hug for your life!
And one other thing, apparently, I just read this 10 minutes ago. Sharon Stone was on Late Late Show with James Corden. Apparently confirmed she's going to do a Marvel movie. She said she has a wee part in a Marvel movie. So, what could that mean?
She's making it up.
She's making it up.
She needs work.
She needs work, yes. Speculation immediately, you know, considering Michael Douglas is Hank Pym, maybe she'll be Janet. Maybe they pull her out of that place. That would be... I don't know.
Or they could just do it in a flashback.
They could.
Yeah.
Still looking good.
Use that really great de-aging technology that they use.
They'll never stop using it now.
Yeah. As a very brief aside, Uncanny Valley Robert Downey Jr. was haunting.
It was weird.
Was I convinced? They did, with less than 0%.
And that's the news.
Yeah.
Welcome to the warm-up!
So, for the warm-up, oddly enough, we're doing the review of the movie.
This is a theme episode.
We have to do it at some point.
So. Yeah, we gotta just talk about how... what everybody thinks.
I think we're coming slightly different. I think you guys had seen it before today.
Yeah.
I did not have time to see it before today, so we got out of it like an hour and a half ago, I think. And so I'm pretty fresh... A lot of thoughts bouncing around my head, so it's going to be a kind of...
No, that's...
It's going to be a loose review.
No.
It's pretty good.
But just your initial...
Yeah. It's pretty good.
What was your favorite part? Which is a question I ask of my child when I take her to movies.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that's a way to start a conversation.
He just starts crying.
We went, it was our friend Todd Chuchak, friend of the show.
Yep.
His birthday, and we went with to see it with him today, this afternoon.
And, like, he got as many people to go, because he just wanted to go see the movie. So there was 20 people in the audience.
Yeah, it was great.
All around him.
I was going to make you an omelet and tell you.
I'm amazed. I left, and I was driving out with Sherry, my wife, and we were... My wife. And have to every time. and we're talking about it, like, that was good, I can't believe how good that was. But it I can't believe how well that worked. There was so much in that movie.
It took me a little bit to sink in, and especially on the second viewing, yeah. I was like, wow, that was tight.
Yeah.
I was not as big of a fan of Age of Ultron, I think, as you guys were.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best one, but there was so much going on,
but this was so tight, and it was like, I was talking to Todd afterwards, that it was like, there's your three-part arc of the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
In Cap and the Winter Soldier. That's their storyline. And then at the end, kind of wraps it up. He can come back later. But now we move on to other things. Like, it encapsulated that storyline
really
so
point.
Well. And then now, what do we do? Now he's in Wakanda, and now we've introduced that whole thing, and then what else is going to... I thought there was going to be, in the post-credit scenes, more of, like, Thanos-y stuff, but I guess they've already set that up as much as they can.
Yeah.
It's a Cap movie, too, so it's...
Yeah.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Well, that was sort of the thing. Sherry's first thing she said was like, so that wasn't really a Captain America movie. She was like, that was like just like an Avengers movie, right? And I'm like, well, yes. And it was also a Captain America movie. It was also kind of an Iron Man movie. Like, they all had strong enough stories where it felt like, you know, if you shifted the focus a little bit, it would have worked so well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it could have been different movies, and it worked so well as all of them at the same time.
But like all the Captain America movies, there's the more political,
low-key
and espionage-y sort of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So again, the focus is on Cap. It's through that lens, but it's easy to sort of see it from different angles. And they had, you know what I mean? Like it's
and they had the best fight scenes.
Oh my god!
Fuck, they had the best fight scenes.
You know, let's just get right the hell into that, because that airport scene was the best thing I've
all
ever...
Of those,
oh, my God.
Spider-Man swinging on War Machine.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Like, holy shit.
What are they doing? Oh, they're going to fight Giant Man. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I know. When he said, he's like, I got something. I was like, oh, I audibly made a sound the first time. I was, oh, is he going to do it?
I went to see that opening night, and it was like... Or not opening up, but like sneak preview night. There was like audible hooting, like woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys are great.
Like every single one of them using this is
how it should be.
Yes, this is how it should be. Like that was just the comic bookiest and most amazing fight scene I've ever seen. Perfect, just so well done. But also just. The fact that you've so well established all of these characters and what they can do and who they are.
And that's
and just
the thing.
Seeing them, like, so many of them, like, rapidly bouncing off of each other.
This is what, like, 8 years in the making.
Yes.
To lead up to that point where you know
all those
characters.
This is why it takes 8 years to do this.
Exactly.
Like, that scene should have just been, like, frenetic and frustrating to watch, but it was not. It was a thing of beauty because they did the work to make it work.
And it was a fairly long fight scene, but it was encapsulated within a really good movie that was the framework. This makes sense, and this is why... We're going to have this longer fight scene, and it's a big payoff, but at the same time, there's so much else going on. Even the other fight scenes, the Crossbones thing.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see Crossbones. I was a little disappointed. I don't know. Is he dead?
I guess he's dead.
He got real blown up.
That's probably my one biggest disappointment with the movie. I was like, he is such a good character if you use him, and they started to use him, and then that fight lasted a little too short. It was a little capped. It was a little capped.
It's sort of the downside of the movies.
Would you say
the like the movies, like Crossbones is not going to be the main villain of a Captain America movie.
No, but he's
and
one
there's
of
so
those...
many potential villains to get to where it's sort of like if you're not like big leagues, then you're probably going to basically get that kind of treatment.
Batroc didn't get killed.
That's true. Well, I mean, big leagues, come on. I mean, I thought it was he had a good showing in that scene.
Totally.
But, you know, yeah, I sort of get that. Like, again, if you're, yeah, it was a little...
Yeah, it just seemed to, like...
Oh, he's gone now.
He was fighting, he was doing really well, and then Cap gave him, like, two or three shots, and then he just was like, I'm taking off my helmet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna blow myself up.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you gave up rather quickly.
Bye, yeah. Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
Look at me, I'm a Snoke.
And again, them having actually set up all these characters over, like, 8 years, what I liked, and I'm not the biggest fan of the Civil War comic, it was fun.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them, they had, yeah, it was enjoyable enough. I feel like that, the comic, I would easily pick the movie over the comic, because I think in the comic, they kind of had to, it was kind of forced why people were sort of, like, being so hardcore one way or the other. This one was playing off of stuff that was there already. Like, yeah. That was very specifically, like, they were drawn apart, like, it was better, it was well-written in the sense where this was gonna happen. Like, it, you know what I mean? If stuff came out.
Yeah.
If you just pushed on something hard enough, this was gonna happen anyway.
Yeah.
In a way where, like, the comic felt kind of like, well, you're on this side, and now you're all fighting each other.
I don't know, I would say there was a good lead-up in the comic, I would disagree.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, they blew up a school.
Yeah.
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 And it was like, well, there what are we going to do? Forget about it.
Yeah.
But there was stuff.
Buy more bonds.
My issue with Civil War, the comic, is that Iron Man went complete fascist, like, immediately.
True.
And in this one, he was much more conflicted, and you really understood where he was coming from, where in the comic, he was just like, everyone, you know what I mean? The characterization was a bit thin. In this one, great.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't agree, you can understand where they're coming from, and you completely, you know, that's good writing. They did it. You did it.
You're talking about Black Panther?
Oh, yes. God, yes.
He's going to be wise. He's going to be a very wise king. Did not mean to do an accent.
Like, no, totally.
His arc was...
That was... Yeah.
Like, he could have very easily just, well, I'm just going to kill you. Most people would not have thought of that. But,
yeah.
You know, like...
It's the tone of the writing and the tone of the actor. I'm not really super familiar with that actor, but he fucking nailed
it. I am, because I saw him in a few things. He was in 42, which is the movie about Jackie Robinson, and he was in, was it Get On Up? It was the James Brown
movie. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And he's been in a few other things I've seen, and he is always amazing. Like, he's so good. He, like, yeah, and so I'm not surprised he was great, but he was really great.
But just he ended, like, that cycle of vengeance, which I know you're a big fan of.
I do, yeah. The cycle of vengeance is, it's good. It's good. He ended it. Gotta do that.
But it was just, like, the way he portrayed that character, just being, like, obviously there was, like, the heightened emotion, but he was seemed very even-toned and very calm and collected. Like, he was cool as a cat.
Yeah.
Cat cucumber.
ears on
that's the cutest vegetable ever.
Yeah. That sounds like a Pinterest thing.
But yeah, and just how he wrapped it up in the end where he was like, okay, instead of just ending it and still being pissed off and whatever.
He takes
him back and then you see Wakanda a little bit, which is, I was very excited.
You actually had, like, some character arcs, you know what I mean? Actually had, like, a bunch. Like, it's there was a lot of plate spinning going on, and it's just like, oh, that, you know, it was emotionally satisfying for so many characters.
Yeah.
is the main thing. Again, like, you know, not necessarily all the characters being there, but, like, every character, even when they were, like, not major at all, like, even, like, Hawkeye, I was saying, in the drive over, it's like, he showed up in, like, three scenes, really. He was the big fight scene, he showed up...
He was predominantly there just as a plot device to keep things going.
But in each of those scenes, he had a moment where you were just like, fuck yeah, Hawkeye! Like, you know what I mean? Like, which is weird to say out loud.
And the little, the dig on Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, like, he had his...
And that's the thing that I think I like the most about this movie, is that the way it ended... It's not clean and wrapped up in a package. Everybody, there's a schism everywhere. Everybody's divided. Half of them you did not actually see in the end. Like, where was Widow at the end? She just...
Right.
Like, after that she's talk. She's locked off. Boom, gone.
And you could easily just see her becoming a ghost after that.
Yeah.
At least temporarily.
Sorry. You know ghosts scare me.
And Sharon Carter
disappeared
as well. Like, she's... Obviously in a bit of trouble herself.
Sure.
aiding and abetting Cap and
whatever. That law, like the Accords there, the law, that's still there, right? Mm. I mean, you're not wrapping that up with a bow.
At what point did they get signed? Because, like, hey, we're going to sign this thing.
Yeah.
Now we're all got blown up.
Yeah.
Which is something that I only noticed after the third watching.
Right.
It's like, oh, they didn't... When did that get signed?
When did
the when Accord? When did
the Accord?
Yeah.
I don't think it actually did in the movie.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's at the point...
It could be deleted if I don't see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It didn't happen.
Yeah. It's clear that it's on the books.
Oh, yeah. It's on the way. Yeah.
And, you know...
And then it's also, are we going to see... Well, we're going to see that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's going to be reflected in the show. They've been talking about
it. And what happens in the show will absolutely be reflected in the movies.
Well, I mean, Cap drop the shield, get Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker in Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D. In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, well.
Though, did you see, do you guys keep up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all?
No, and I was actually curious if, were there any tie-ins?
This week.
Okay.
It's not going to be as good as Winter Soldier. I don't think that was like seamless.
But I mean,
was
there any stuff the other way?
Mm.
Did I miss anything because I don't watch the show?
The other way, no.
Okay,
no,
not really.
I think it's more the Sokovian Accord.
Yeah,
I saw one.
See, it would be
they had what's his name, the general guy
Talbot.
Okay. Talbot in the show, he's their liaison or whatever.
It's Adrian Pazdar, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He's freaking great.
He's really
Talbot.
Good.
He's
yeah.
super good.
But he's having a talk with Coulson, and it's
okay.
like you know this is part of it, and he's like, well, if you think I'm gonna follow this. And I'm going to just hand over and register all the Inhumans, you're insane.
Like, yeah.
Which is okay. obviously how that translates to them, because they would all have to
when
register
they
and be part
moment,
of working for the UN and whatever.
They had a moment in the movie where they're talking about just like how many of superpowered people have basically come out.
Right.
And they've made such a point of like in the show, like how many Inhumans are springing up and stuff like that. It would have been a nice moment to be like, how many superpowered, like just constantly, people are terrified. Just have like one line in there and it would give it a little more weight, I think, to the
just
movie.
Just to say the word Inhuman?
Not even say the Inhuman necessarily, just like how many superpowered people are just springing up every day. Because that's happening in the show and people are scared of it in the show. And it's like, well, that would give more weight to the narrative. Like, well, there's a reason they're so scared. It could have tied in better than it does, but I don't think TV and movies are playing too nice together anymore.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, that's okay for me.
Yeah. I mostly bring it up because Coulson has he has like a bionic hand with like an energy Captain America shield. Like the energy shield?
Yeah, he just
it's got a shield symbol in the middle instead of the star.
It's the next Avengers, the cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Or comics in the late 90s. In the late 90s.
The late 90s?
Cap shield got broken to an energy shield.
I thought you meant the cartoon was in the late 90s.
Oh, no.
It means that cartoon, the late 90s, on Adult Swim.
There's the whole Wanda Vision
thing,
which is alluded to, that, of course, in the comics they were married and had kids. And, and then I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, how could they possibly do that connection? How could he evolve enough to be within a relationship? Or is that going to happen? And what's going on with him? Because he got thrown a bit, and that's how Rhodey got hurt. He's got the mind gem.
Yes.
Is supposedly what's on his forehead.
Yes.
And I don't know how that works in terms of him. Wanda was controlling it, it seemed. Like, it turned red when she did her stuff.
Yeah.
So she's got a connection to the gem already.
I did not notice that.
Oh, fair enough.
She got her powers partially from
that awakened to open her powers up, right?
Through Loki and the whole Deceptor. Blah, blah.
Okay, interesting.
Then, yeah. So then, are they going to have a connection? Like, he can't really, he can control his own powers, but he can't control the stone. He doesn't know anything about it. And then all of a sudden, she's controlling him and the stone and his powers through the stone. And it turned red. So I was like,
It's your typical meet cute.
You're unbearably naive.
Well, I was born yesterday.
Easter eggs?
When they were fighting that stairwell, Daryl popped in. He was like, oh, sorry, wrong stairwell.
I even thought of that. I'm like,
he just throws his hands up like, this is totally my thing,
guys.
It is
way too bright out.
Yeah, exactly. Can we just lower the lights? That light should make a red bulb perfect.
Or he just walked out and went, too many edits. He should have done it in one shot.
Yeah.
There is, of course, there's two cover images that did a little homage to the thing. The first one being, that came at the end with the Iron Man versus
like right off the Civil War.
Yeah,
like
Civil
right
War issue battle. 7. Yeah, yeah, that's the two of them
blasting Repulsor and Shield up. And that was nice.
Yeah, that was done well.
And of course,
that was my favorite, seeing
the best thing,
Ant-Man with Hawkeye.
Ant-Man on the
shoot me, arrow guy.
So yeah, good.
Like, oh yes, that's so good.
Oh man.
Just stuff like that makes it all work.
And again, so much attention given to Black Panther and Spider-Man. Little clap for Paul Rudd. He held his own there. He was pretty great. Like every single time,
is yours, Captain America.
Yeah, yeah. Like he was so funny. And just every time it's just like, oh yeah, like who's this guy? Oh, come on, man. Yeah. Charming. Charming.
They put a lot more emphasis on Spider-Man and a lot more screen time than I was expecting.
I didn't expect and the sort of thing where it could have been kind of worrisome, but it worked.
They actually explained the lenses that everyone was so upset with.
Why? And, you know, good explanation, good enough. I mean, it's and having the animated eyes, I like it. A lot of people have brought that's beautiful.
Oh, no,
it happens in the comics all the time. That should happen. He was, when he first showed up, he was coming up, like, you know, going up in the apartment building. And I got that comic nerd thing where I'm sort of like, oh, where's your house in Forest Hills? Is there an apartment building? Whatever. And then I'm like, okay, fine. It's year 2016. A poor family is not going to afford a house in Queens. It's just not going to happen. Makes sense. And then he first starts, you know, he comes in and you sort of see him. And I'm just like, he's like, little kid. You look, you know, he's a little guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, first I'm just like, and then, like, immediately, the minute he started talking, I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, he had, like, kind of that Queens accent. And he was just like,
The quirkiness and the chattiness and just the nervous talking and the fact that he was so young, that made me super happy.
Because
that's how it started. And he's only had it at that point for 6 months, he says.
Absolutely.
So it's like that was the closest to an actual Spider-Man that we've ever seen.
Yeah. There was a really nice Uncle Ben illusion.
Yeah. Just the little nods.
Yeah. Like talking about where he's coming. Yeah, you know what I mean? And again, it's like the actual stuff. They're going to touch on that in their own movie, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, he absolutely sold it. And especially.
And the hottest Aunt May.
That was.
what, if you say so. But,
and specifically, like, Tony Stark being Tony Stark, calling it out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he knows that, like, fans are just, like, thinking it, so he's going to say it, right? Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. And they're like,
Well done.
They got the science geek thing down, especially during the fight when he's talking, like, that's not how physics work. Yeah. Like, throwing the shield around, making science comments, and just the quipping, and especially the most Spidey thing. Just like, like he's getting hit, like he just fails constantly. Yeah. Like he gets beat up, he like something goes wrong, he's like, yip! Like he's not together. He's like an awkward kid.
The best was when he grabs the shield, lands, and then has that little awkward talk after that. That was the best. And he was like, oh, hey, Captain America. Spider-Man. Yeah, hi. We don't need to have a discussion.
Was it the, I don't know if it was the Winter Soldier or Falcon, it was like, it's like, you're just like, we're having a fight, like, you usually don't talk so much in a fight, like, has he ever fought before? Why are you talking so much? It's just like, well, yeah, that's Spidey, like, that moment, like, all those little moments where I'm just like, oh my god, Spider-Man's perfect, he's finally perfect.
I saw it today with everybody, and we went for Todd's thing, but then I also saw it last night, I usually go to these with my friends Jamie and Jesse. They are not comic book nerd people. They don't really know the comics. That's why Jesse always insists that I go, and because I can explain it to her.
Right.
Because she's like, oh, well, she gets most of the references, but there's things that might sit by it. And we were talking about it, that I was like, in the car, anything I need to explain? Did you not get that? They're like, no, I think we got it. And there's like little tiny references that of course they're not going to get.
Sure.
But you can clear it up, but it didn't take anything away from the story.
It says a lot.
Enjoyed the movie when, you know, like hardcore fans can love it, and then somebody who has no idea of it can just walk in and go, that was a great movie.
And especially this movie that is so stuffed, like there's so much in it, and if you're like, you know, if a totally casual watcher is not confused at all, that is amazing.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a feat, because most movies, not even anywhere near this scale, can't pull that off.
As a comparison, I went with them to see Batman vs. Superman, and we had that discussion in the car on the way back.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I had to explain Crisis and the whole Flash thing. They were like, that was Flash? And I'm like, oh.
Exactly.
Maybe. I think so. But,
And not to get into the comparison too much, because we don't want to be all arguey, but it's you know, they're similar themes, really, kind of, like a similar sort of a setup. completely different execution.
Yeah.
I know which one I preferred by, like, so much.
Yeah.
I will say, the most important two things in this movie that it got right. The spider on the back of Spider-Man's costume is the round one. It's not some angular, creepy spider. No, it's the right spider on the back.
Oh, dear God.
Finally. It's important. And also, the spider signal in a movie at last.
I'm really happy that it slowly rotated and had a bunch of shit around the place.
It's a 21st century spider signal.
Yeah, sure.
You can't look at one. It's a smartphone version of a spider signal where you have to have 40,000 fucking apps open at the same time.
Yeah,
absolutely. But it was there. It was there.
A couple of other quick Easter egg things just to mention. Red Wing.
Yeah.
Because, of
course,
like, in the comic, that is an actual bird, but then, of course, that would be ridiculous to...
I did like the
moment...
He said
they got a bird.
Bruce is like, thank you. It's like, I didn't do it. Thank Red Wing. It's like, I'm not doing
I'm
that.
Not thanking him.
it goes with the bird costume.
Yeah.
There is the raft.
Yeah.
Which was... like, I knew it more from, like, Civil War. That was the raft was in the negative zone, and that was, like, this huge prison.
Well, they had, like, Prison 42. Prison 42. The raft was a different thing.
Oh, really?
When the new Avengers first showed up.
It was
the first thing was a big...
It was a big prison break.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
But
it was actually...
Carnage got torn in.
I just read...
Yeah. And Luke Cage, didn't he beat the hell out of the Purple Man?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Anyway. I just read a bit that... It was actually introduced in Alias, but I've never read Alias.
Not sure.
So I don't know that. But anyways, cool to see. And the Black Panther, Dora Milaje. I don't know if anybody caught that. When the Black Panther and there's a young lady walking with him.
Friend.
His tough lady friend walks up and turns to Widow and is like, move or you will be moved.
Yeah,
like, that's his Dora Milaje. He has... These female guards.
Oh, right.
Will kick your ass.
Yeah.
He's like, I'd like to see that. Like, as interesting as that would be.
I'd like to see that in my own movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming out next November.
And even just like the little glimpses of that stuff, I'm so excited to see Wakanda. I am so excited to see that movie.
Yeah, very cool.
On so many levels. And yeah, like, as far as a character introduction in a movie that's already stuffed, holy God. I mean, we already talked about Black Panther, but again, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure over time, I just saw it, it's really fresh, maybe I'll have more nitpicks eventually. Like, at first, there was so much going on story-wise before the action hit.
Yeah.
Kind of like the first, like, you know, half an hour or whatever, 45 minutes, and there was some stuff, I'm like, it's really good, but I was sort of like, had the Winter Soldier comparisons, and Winter Soldier felt a little tighter.
Yeah.
But once the action hit, like, once the emotional beats really hit,
it was that first... The first act
didn't
seem quite as tight, and then it kind of picked up, and it made
sense. It was one of those things where
maybe
it was like a similar structure in Winter Soldier, except it was the focus was so tight in that movie, and this one was much wider just because of all the characters, but again, by like second, third acts and stuff, they made that work.
Yeah.
Like, it really worked well.
I know we're going long on a warm-up.
It's fine.
My only other nitpick was Baron Zemo a little bit. His character was not really...
No purple mask.
No.
Well, there was no purple mask, but his character was not really developed much.
Yeah.
I'm curious if they're going to use him later on.
Yeah. Because
he's not dead. He's like...
He's one of the villains they did not kill.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, are you setting it up to... Like, it was like a Baron von Strucker that got killed.
Yeah.
And it was
like,
okay, you're not doing that. You're not just using him, and then, okay, we're done, and then move on to the next.
It's a very different Zemo than the comics, obviously.
Very, very,
very different.
Well, like, he was a Nazi and...
Exactly.
And
not that in this. Very different, but equally, you know, fueled. You know,
if he's
fueled by hate and comes back and gets a little more... Gets a Crossbones treatment where he's a little more comic-y.
Yeah.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of ground there, but overall, I guess we liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
Ah.
Didn't suck.
I might see it again.
I feel like I've seen it enough now.
I've seen it like three times now.
I've seen it three times now. I need to take a break.
Yeah, yeah.
I only saw it once, so, you know.
You need to go again.
What the f***?
So the main round, we are doing, as we said earlier, the debate.
So there's either the Iron Man registration side, the Cap non-registration,
and there's the third role has to play the very important role of the moderator.
Yep.
So this isn't equal. There's two sides. Somebody's the moderator. They have to make sure that things stay on track, on topic. If somebody's
God, I hope I don't get that.
Yeah.
I'm like, if we're all, nobody wants to be the Mormon.
No, I know.
I can't control you, you men.
So, yeah. So that's what it is. The moderator has to keep things on track, and also, ultimately, at the end, has to decide who wins just based solely on the argument. So you have to be completely impartial. Yeah. Objective.
Yeah.
All right. So, we don't know what side we're going to be on.
We're drawing out of a hat.
Literally drawing out of a hat.
We all pick at the same time.
Okay. Well, we don't have to pick at the same time.
I can't see.
It's fine. I'll just take whatever's left. It's fine. We're good.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. All right. So, what do we got?
I'm Team Iron Man.
Oh, shit. Team Cap.
I was going to say, audio podcast.
Yeah, yeah, Team Cap. I'm actually wearing a Captain America hoodie. I was so worried I'd have to argue right. Iron Man.
I am Team Impartial Moderator.
Sorry, Kyle.
Fucking Team Discovery Channel.
It was up to chance. I shook it. I shook this hat like crazy.
Yeah, that's, I'm happy with it, because my favorite character in that movie was the Dean of MIT.
Yes. Oh, I didn't even mention that during the review, because Danny Pudi showed up. In Winter Soldier.
This is all community stuff.
Right? Yeah, Jim Rash showed up in this movie. If the Russos could just,
Britta will be, sorry, you go ahead.
Yeah, you know, that's your joke.
I thought you said it.
The Britta would be, no, I didn't say that.
Britta will be death.
Yeah. In
Infinity War.
Thanos is in love with death and is just going to be Britta in a cloak.
Yeah. Being she's Britta. She's got that severe face.
Yeah, it'll work. I'm excited for Chevy Chase. He won't be coming back.
No one.
Said nobody.
No one's excited for Chevy Chase.
No.
Nobody likes Milhouse. All right, so.
Well, they could probably get Donald Glover back for, like, a movie.
Are you guys set, or do you need a couple minutes to think?
I might need a few minutes.
Meanwhile, on the beaches of Scotland.
Gentlemen, are you ready for your opening arguments?
I'm ready for a civil debate.
Oh, you're ready for war.
You both lose.
So who would start first? Maybe we got to flip a coin.
We have a coin right here.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah.
That's moderator duty.
It's Merc's house, so call it.
Heads.
It's tails. So
okay.
Team Cap.
Team Cap goes first.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield got killed. Then he led to a fight and a duel ensued, and the red and the white and the blue come through.
All right. Well, so we're at have a bit of an ideological.
Webster's defines America.
It's good. In an ideal world, regulation. Again, regulation does make sense. You have something that's potentially dangerous.
All right, I won.
Like guns and stuff. Regulation is something that should make sense generally. However, this is a world where we know the government cannot be trusted. We just saw S.H.I.E.L.D. infiltrated by literal Nazis for 70 years, who were one of the major crime-fighting, peacekeeping, whatever, like a major government authority, was completely riddled with Nazis for 70 years, and no one even noticed. This is the same kind of people who are going to be in charge of this Registration Act. It's completely corruptible. We've seen how corruptible it is. It had to go down for a reason. Do you want the people who are going to be saving their lives answering to bureaucrats who could potentially have, like Cap said in the movie, agendas of their own that could not be in the people's best interests? Ultimately, you know, it's unfortunate that bad things happen. Bad things are going to happen regardless. You know, terrorist attacks happen in our world. This stuff happens and you can't really know about it until it happens. And it just sort of depends. Who do you trust most to respond to those things? And ideally, the government would be up to responding to it. But we've seen in this case that they're not up to it in this world. They've proven that more than once. Their answer to, like, being invaded by aliens: let's nuke New York City. Terrible idea. Again, S.H.I.E.L.D., hide your guys. though I would say, as seen in the movie, you saw government and official stances can be very rigid and hard to change. You had the airport scene starting off. Captain America knows about Zemo, knows what's going on, wants to explain it, but that's not happening. Instead, they have a fight scene that easily could have been even more disastrous. They're busy fighting it out because, again, they have these hardline stances that are very hard to change, especially when you have an entire, like, agency or whatever. There's so many gears that have to move in order to change things, like they said. If every time, like, every minute where, like, if there's a crisis happening, every minute that you basically have to go through proper channels, every minute that, like, there's some sort of, like, an agenda in play that you have to fight against to try to get something done, that could cost lives. That could be the answer between responding to something and saving lives and it going completely unchecked. And in this world where there's, like, terrorist attacks and alien invasions and all sorts of crazy nonsense happening, like, every 5 minutes, I think that getting another person in the way of responding to those things would be a much worse situation.
Team Iron Man? Opening argument?
You brought up some good points, but
you're not responding to those.
Right well, now. No, but the basic idea of this is to have some sort of overview.
Sure.
And the idea that, oh, I'm going to give the power of that overview and the decision making to just, you know, a group of 5-6 people, and just let them do what they want when they are the ones with the most powerful. Some of them with incredible power that can be incredibly destructive. And say, well, if we have this oversight and it's slowing them down or it's not going quite right to what you think, but, oh, let's look at what just happened. How many times did we just see them go in on their own and it was a catastrophe and people died? Right. The point is, people died. That's the bottom line. That is the thing that we're here for. Really, this is across borders and cultures, like, you know, you just don't let anybody be judge, jury, and executioner. I'm not saying that these Avengers aren't good people and they don't make good decisions and they're not trying to do the best thing. And not that they're not going to have to make hard choices in a split second and be very quickly deciding what's going to happen. They're going to be in those situations. I don't think that's the argument. The argument is those initial reactions of just, what's going on? Oh, we're going to go in and send an arrow guy. And he'll blow something up. Oh, Vision, he can just shoot a beam out of his head. And just, oh, that didn't go well. It's that, having that second set of eyes and a second set of morals and just kind of a bit of a buffer to say, wait a minute, let's just figure out what's going on for a second. And then we move in. The idea that the politics could be corruptible, yes, that's always in play. But at the same time, you have bad cops that don't work well in the police, you remove those cops. You don't suddenly just disband the police. This is how the world works. Like, this is how these things have to be done. You can't just let people... It's not the Wild West. You don't just let them go run loose, especially with the sets of power levels that these people have. So, in the end, there has to be some sort of responsibility. And just to say, oh, these people can cross borders and do whatever they want. Nobody does that in this world. You can't. That's akin to war. There's not an army or any person from one country or group that can just go into wherever they want and destroy things on a citywide level and just be like, oh, we were trying to do a good thing. Oh, it didn't work out. Sorry. And it isn't going to work out. A good chunk of the time, it's not going to work out. The whole idea is to have some sort of responsibility and have that buffer period. And to be able to, in the end, if something screws up, they can say they're sorry, like they did. That's nice, but people are dead. So there has to be some sort of repercussions. And I think that's really what's being presented here. A single tear comes down.
Single tear. Oh, boy.
Oh,
things are getting real.
Team Iron Man, rebuttal.
Okay, I got a rebuttal to Team Tony.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no worries.
I was looking at paper.
When you said the idea of having 5 or 6 people basically in charge, people with a lot of power, how dangerous that is, they literally had that with the World Security Council, who almost nuked New York City. And one of them was, turns out, a very high-ranking Hydra agent in the mix there as well. Again, there's a lot of how the world works, how it should work, and I think most people would agree with that. But we've seen time and time again in this world, it's just too open to corruption. I mean, this has happened before. Like, every time there's a certain group of people who are in charge of oversight, they end up corrupted. The minute you let political players and agendas into the mix, it opens it up to that corruption. And I think that's kind of inescapable just based on how that world tends to work. It might not be a perfect situation to have certain people just sort of operating the way they do, but it's not a perfect world. Every single case they got involved in, people were saved that otherwise would have died. Except maybe...
Except for the people that died.
Yeah, but except whatever. For the people that died, but they would have died anyway if the Avengers weren't there. Well, I think so. Except, of course, except for the Sokovia situation where Tony Stark created Ultron in the first place. So, you know, maybe he's a bit of a hypocrite. But, no, like, again, the situation. They were going after, in this case, Crossbones was going after a biological weapon which would have killed a lot more people if that were ever to be used. He was trying to blow himself up. Yes, he was engaged, but he was trying to blow himself up in a crowded area. He got launched up. People died. About 12 people, I think it said. Awful. Terrible situation. Much more would have died if nothing had been done. And it's unfortunate. I'm not saying that there's an ideal, perfect situation here. But in general, they help more than they hurt. More people would die if they weren't in play. I don't know. I think, again, there's a lot of carnage regardless, but there would be a lot more if they weren't allowed to open and react to things with the speed that they need to. And it's a changing world. Clearly, they're seeing a changing world play out here. Maybe the idea of borders, as it were, in a case where, like, the biggest threats individual countries have are other countries. Maybe that is something that has to change in a world where you have aliens literally invading the planet. More than once, and more to come, as we know from the movie slate, right? So,
as we know from the fictional storyline.
Yeah, fictional storylines, exactly. But
we are the Watcher.
Yeah. but you know what I mean? If you have, threats coming from other dimensions, other, like, from space, international borders, maybe shouldn't matter as much as they used to. It's not like sort of the Cold War situation anymore. Maybe people have to be more concerned about protecting all of the planet. Maybe it has to be sort of a globalized thing, and maybe that's what the Avengers can be. It might be messy first steps, but ultimately I think the world is safer for them. And again, I think handcuffing them to bureaucrats only stands to get in the way.
Okay, let me just respond to the thing you said right at the end. You need a global response, all of the planet. If you have 5 to 10 people, that's not a global response in all of the planet. That's 5 to 10 people deciding unilaterally, this is what we're going to do.
Well, the whole idea... Security Council is the same thing.
Well, but that's the whole thing. This isn't the World Security Council. This is not SHIELD. This is not HYDRA. This was the idea. This is the UN. And again, I understand it. There could be corruption and things can go wrong, but it doesn't mean... that you can say that about anything. Well, it's corrupt. There could be corruption, so let's just not do it. Well, okay, then we don't have government. We don't have any sort of organization in our society at all. It can't just claim that and then just scrap it from there. No, it's not a perfect thing, but we have to start somewhere. I think it's much more reckless and much more naive to think that those 5 to 10 people are just going to decide what's best for everybody and just let them go. Let's let a big green monster, gamma-radiated monster, just go crazy and kill hundreds of people, and that's fine. That's fine. I'm sure in the end, he's a good guy. He's a good guy at heart. Hulk! Smash! As long as all those people that died are fine. You mentioned Sokovia. Oh, that went wrong. Well, and then in Lagos, where it did go wrong, I think he was about to blow himself up, and there wasn't really a lot of people around. Right around, I'm sure everybody had pretty much scattered at that point before Scarlet Witch.
Crowd around,
not directly. Right, it was, and then he threw up at the building towards more people.
Things to be.
I know that they're probably good people, but at the same time, you can't just be like, "Well, then that's okay." Then they're the only good people. No, there's other good people, and that to have other people involved. In the end, they're going to be fighting on the ground and have to make those life and death quick decisions. But in that initial response and in kind of an overall responsibility factor, I think there has to be something else. There has to be some sort of safety net. Otherwise, they have to operate like the rest of us do.
Okay. You set for closing arguments? Ultimately, Team Cap, closing argument.
I'm sorry, Tony.
If I see a situation pointed south, I can't ignore it.
Ultimately, I think how the events of the movie ended says a lot about where I'm coming from. Ultimately, Captain America's side was proven kind of right. He was proven right. He was on, I mean, again, like, what happened you might have some arguments with, but Bucky was not guilty of the thing that, you know, he was accused of. Infighting created by, you know, trying to politically control these individuals, almost let Zemo get away with it. Basically let everything play out the way it did, you know what I mean? Like, creating that strife, the result of the Accords, the result of playing these people against each other through those political channels, kind of let somebody get away with their scheme. And the fact that once he was proven right, once they captured the actual bad guy, once all that happened, you had how many heroes, how many Avengers still locked up, and they were just going to rot there. These are people who are devoted to helping people. They are devoted to doing good, and they were locked up somewhere where they couldn't do that. Ultimately, due to the ego and control issues of those in power, particularly General Ross, you put someone like him in charge of people who were trying to save lives, and he turned out to be not a very good person to do that. And it seems to be, no matter what situation, that always seems to happen. You know, they might have crossed some lines, but there was room to sort of find a middle ground and room for it to sort of, like, try to work within, you know what I mean, to give them the freedom to do what they do, but, you know, maybe try to, yeah, not try to be so rigid, which they absolutely were, because, you know, they were doing the right thing for the right reasons, and they were still punished for it, even though they turned out to be right. And that's how rigid these kind of things can be. There's no room for nuance when you're dealing with specific, like, laws and being run by, like, say, the military. That it just doesn't happen. And ultimately, I don't think it suits the world they live in. Ultimately, I mean, you can't control the world. Ultimately. Oh. yeah, like, the world is not it's not a perfect world. You have to respond to things as they happen. If a superpower person were to be responsible, I'm not saying that they should just be able to get away with doing whatever they want, but you respond to that when it happens, and I think it was heavy-handed. I think trying to, you know, register everybody and tell them what they can and can't do before they can do anything could just as easily lead to disaster, and I think that was well shown.
Team Iron Man, closing statement? Closing argument? Closing time? I think
you could say...
You don't have to go home, but...
Oh. Well...
You are home!
My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you. I know you're a coward.
As you said, you could say that ultimately, in the end, Cap's side was right. I don't know if I would agree with that.
Okay.
That it wasn't really the political discussions and the back and forth that slowed anything down. Yes, there was miscommunications. There's always going to be miscommunications. But really, it was Zemo manipulating those people, in which really caused all the chaos. If there had been a barrier in between, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Maybe if there had been more communication of what was going on and not just letting, oh, Iron Man in his suit go off and take somebody's arm off and beat the living hell out of his friend and Cap and Winter Soldier doing the exact same to Iron Man, maybe things would have worked out better. But no, they were allowed to just go do what they want, or they thought they could just do what they want. And in the end, I don't think it really worked out that well. In the end, there's a huge schism with all of those, and a lot of people got hurt. Do you let soldiers decide what the army is going to do? No, you got to have somebody, not just one person, you got to have a group of people who are understanding the bigger picture of what's going on and what you can do and what you can't do. You have sovereign borders. You don't just enter somebody else's land and do what you want. Yes, there's the idea of aliens coming down, but I think that should be more of a global response and actually all the countries involved working together in order to make that response. Not let's just let those five people, one of the guys got a hammer and the other guy's green. Let's let them decide what the hell's going on. Cap is a soldier, and that's what I find weird, that he doesn't understand that. He was a soldier, and in World War II, this is what he did. He took orders, that he understood that there was a chain of command, and that there was people that probably knew better than he did. In the end, he was on the ground, and yes, he made those decisions moment to moment, but he might not have the bigger picture. He might have a voice in what's going on, but it's not him making the ultimate decision of what that entire army does, that huge group that can really do an incredible amount of damage. So yeah, that's why I think this should be over soon. Thanks for coming.
All right.
Okay.
And well, it was a civil debate.
That's the end of the episode. No, now
Now Kyle has the most important job of all.
I have to decide who was right. Okay, here's the thing.
Okay.
I've heard the arguments.
Yeah.
I went to my chambers. We paused there. We really did. That happened, sure.
many
chambers was the bathroom.
Yeah.
I took a poop.
I took a decision poop.
I decided. No, never mind. Nope.
Don't go there.
I think, from what I've heard, you can't have no oversight. Because we had no oversight in Sokovia. And it doesn't exist anymore. They're still fixing New York. You know, Hell's Kitchen is still shit.
Just nothing but hallway fights. So.
Nothing but hallways and rooftops.
Yeah. Some hard drinking.
Yeah. At the one bar there.
The only one.
If there is some sort of board that superheroes, superpowered individuals have to answer to, it has to be constant. Like, there has to be constant open lines of communication, because otherwise, you know, shit gets misunderstood and things happen and guys lose arms.
I did like, was it Alt-J Left Hand Gone playing at the very end of the end credits? I think it was the song called Left Hand Gone.
I'm like,
that is just cheeky is what it is.
Again, but like this, it can't be one government. And I think
that's why the idea was the UN.
I think leaving it to the UN is bad because the UN likes to just talk and argue and not get stuff done.
Right.
You know, do you want to squabble or do you want to be, what was the, do you want to argue and squabble all day or do you want to be like the real UN? Or no, just like the real,
Okay.
Misremembering Simpsons quotes, the podcast.
Yeah. It's really what this is turning into.
Yeah. I think at the same time, there does need to be a level of autonomy given to, you know, field agents. You know, if you're a soldier, you're following orders, but if, you know, you see someone about to get hit by a truck, you're going to tell them to move.
Yeah.
Or do something.
Yeah.
So, for that reason, I say scrap the Sokovia Accords and start over and have some superheroes involved in the decision-making process of this, because, you know, you roll this out on, you know, on Mother's Day, of all days!
Yeah.
Black Widow is furious. I've got no issue with big government. I think it's fine. But make sure that, you know, it gets done right and that no one is going to war over this. Doesn't seem like a hard thing to do. Get a couple superheroes in the room, say, okay, would you agree to this, this, and this? And say, well, yes to this and this, no to this. Okay, well, let's work this out. Let's debate this. So.
Debater.
So, because for now, I gotta say Team Cap.
What?
I get extra points.
Everything you just said, I thought that was true.
I'm on board with you, except for what the paperwork is right now.
Oh,
okay.
We need different paperwork. So, all
right.
Sorry.
But he's saying no paperwork.
But you law.
But he's saying no paperwork.
Not necessarily.
I'm
creating this.
You can be nuanced, but mine's rigid.
No. I'm saying you can respond to things when they happen, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's trying to...
Look, you're both wrong.
You're both wrong, yeah. What you're saying is kind of a nice compromise between the two.
Yeah, that yours seems like the middle.
But I'll gladly take the win.
You know what? Just for that arrogance, Merc wins. Also, to make up for all the quizzes.
All right, well, it's a nuanced issue. And actually, I find that funny, because now that the debate is done, I mean, whose side did you like better when you actually watched the movie?
Yeah, I was on Cap's side. Yeah. But at the same time, there's a lot more to it. Like, really.
And it's actually quite nuanced. Again, there's a lot of stuff.
It's nuanced. Like, oh, and yeah, it's like, you shouldn't be just going in and just doing whatever you want. I'm kind of in between.
Yeah.
Like, with your response, that was more what I would actually do. Like,
sure.
You can't just be like,
send the green guy in.
Something happened in India. I'm sure he'll be fine.
No, like, very much like how S.H.I.E.L.D. works in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got field agents, and they've got a few superheroes on retainer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, but then it's having the proper structure and connection to, yeah. But then it's like, do you connect just to the U.S. government? No, it shouldn't. It should be a global thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it has to be apolitical.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we took hard stances.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything else because it couldn't end well.
Okay, moment of zero.
Moment of zero.
I'm just saying, Falcon came to help and he just blasts him down.
What a dick! Yeah, but...
Oh, that was...
I feel like that was just revenge for when he red-birded him hit right in the head.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Man, these superheroes are so petty. They shouldn't be allowed to be in charge. Oh, no!
Yeah! Moment of zero. We're talking about after-credits scenes.
Oh, yeah.
They're a staple now.
They are a thing in every
movie. Hey, look. Get it? I get it because I'm in the room.
Yeah,
I have a pen that shoots a Spider-Man symbol.
Yeah, they're the staple in the Marvel movies now, and I think they're often like a link to the next setup to the sure. or the setup to yeah, the next
you,
movie.
You
and
sort of explain it. It's not just for fun.
Yeah, there are the goofy ones like the shawarma scene.
Yeah,
yeah,
but I think you can only pull that off once if they did another shawarma scene. Unless, you know, at the end of the entire, like, Infinity War, at the end, there's, like, all of them at the shawarma place. That would actually be kind of funny.
Literally everybody.
Yeah.
Star Wars, Raccoon.
Yeah, there's 50 of them all in this one place. Yeah. That would actually be funny.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's not bad at all.
I could see them doing it, actually. Yeah.
But for the most part, that's sort of, like, nothing happening, no
yeah.
nod or whatever. Not that, like, the two that were in Cap. There was the setup with Black Panther and Wakanda and Bucky being frozen in carbonite.
Which that could have been in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of why they did the two of them. Just like that. And then, then the Spidey nod after. But then that opens up that whole door of just at the end of that one Wakanda scene, you know, that if they find out he's here, they're going to come for him. Sort of
right.
thing. Okay, are you setting up something in the next movie? They could, which I guess would be...
Gotta set something up for Black Panther.
Doctor Strange isn't going to be... I don't think is going to deal with a lot of this stuff.
I hope it doesn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be kind of... There might be a nod here or
there.
Well,
I even
kind of... There's movie links, but I think it's going to be kind of standalone-ish.
Yeah. I might well eat my words here, but I mean, I almost kind of hope that the Black Panther movie doesn't really... But they're all there, right? You have, like, you know, basically the fugitives... hanging out in Wakanda now, so they're probably going to factor in, because it's probably going to come out before whatever
well, are, wrap are that they, up. Are they all hanging out there?
Well, yeah, that's a question we don't know.
Well, that's the thing. As it is, it's only Cap and Bucky.
That we saw.
Or
that we
saw. Secret.
Yeah.
Of Avengers.
Yeah.
I mean, where else could they
Is Ulysses S. Claw going to come into which could be he would be...
Yeah.
He's like a main Black Panther villain.
So yeah, yeah.
That, and he was so good in that role.
Yeah.
That whatever. Just 10 minutes of him as that was fucking brilliant. And to have him.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see him. Like, that's.
He's one of the.
That's
main,
what they're doing. That's
yeah.
what
he's got to be.
But, like, just seeing those two characters, especially, like, these versions of those two characters, is going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Because they're really good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're saying like, they're already set up that there is the connection with Wakanda, and he stole the vibranium from there.
Right.
And there could be very well much more history between them. You never know.
Right.
But,
I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah. And then the Spidey one.
Oh, of course.
That was just fun. That was just
he's fun. Hanging out, playing with his gadgets in his room.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a teenage boy.
playing with his thing in his room. That's what they do.
Just nice.
Close the door.
Man.
You're going to see some stuff.
I shot something onto the roof.
Did that get a little reaction, didn't it, when it said like Spider-Man will return?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's good. I mean, and I don't know how hopeful I would be if I didn't if it wasn't spelled out that Marvel Studios has creative control over that movie.
Yeah. I'm curious if that Spider-Man movie is going to have those characters in it, if it's going to cross over a lot more, or they're going to try to do more of it.
It's going
to
have Iron Man, if no one else.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, he'll make an appearance. Right. I'm hoping just a cameo, though.
You never know, it might be like a mentor kind of thing.
Yeah. Which
Pete and Tony kind of did have at certain
points. It did happen around the Civil War comics. Yeah. I'm kind of...
Ultimate comics, too. Like, absolutely.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then... I'm hoping, personally, that they kind of go... I think they sort of captured, you know, like, poor kid Peter Parker cobbling technology together from dumpster diving. You know what I mean? He has this fancy new suit from Tony Stark and whatnot. But other than that, I kind of want to keep that as down to earth as possible.
Street-level Spider-Man.
Like, actually sort of capture, like, his struggle being, like, a teenager, poor teenager, and also a superhero. That's kind of the main appeal... To at least to begin with that
just
character.
Him and Jessica Jones out drinking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Underage drinking. Jessica Jones gets arrested for providing to a minor.
Yeah.
It's,
I thought he said he was 21. It's like, nobody believes that guy's 21.
No.
I liked the little, he was a little guy.
It was fun. It was just like, he was just,
hey, little guy.
Like, it was just like, oh, okay. Like, Spider-Man was never, you know, supposed to be, I like him just being kind of, like, skinny and not overly tall, but he was like a little kid.
Yeah.
Well, that's, but it, like, it worked real well.
Yeah,
it
was
anyway.
Perfect, yeah.
Oh, man, the quips.
The quips. Okay, I think we ought to wrap this guy
up. We're running a bit long here. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bri Kotick. You've updated a comic at Welcome to Hereafter. You can look at it at welcometohereafter.com, should you choose to.
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.CA, Merc on Facebook. I sell on my website. You can get graphic novels, t-shirts, prints, not prints, as in...
All right, Pete.
Prince, yeah, you can buy him. Yeah, that's it.
And I'm Kyle Lees. You can check my stuff out anywhere that you do social media at the Kyle Lees, please.
All right.
Check out Kyle Lees, if you please. We've done that. I've said that like 18 times.
That's like my new tagline.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming by. Yeah. That's all I got.
Hope you like the movie.
Hope you like it.
We're going to fleet boot it.
We done.
That was a bad ending.
We need a sign off.
We need something.
We really need some sort of sign off.
What?